Hi everyone, welcome.
Oh, there's my voice, that's loud.
Hi, this is the last session of the first day, so I hope everything's going okay so far. It's I do realise I'm the guy standing between you and free beer, and we're probably at the furthest we could get from the free beer, so I'll make sure I finish on time. Today we're going to be talking about application lifecycle management in the cloud. We're not going to talk too much about using ALM to build cloud applications, though we will touch on that. I can, but mostly this is going to be about using the application lifecycle management tools that we have hosted in Windows Azure that you can use from the comfort of your desktop without having to install anything. So hope that makes sense, what we're going to be talking about. And there was actually a slight mistake in the conference printout. This is just to set expectations. This is a level 200 session. I think it said 300 in the brochure there. So we're going to go a whole breadth overview over the whole what we can do in the cloud today. Talk about what we've built, how we've built it, that sort of thing. And then I'm going to show you the sessions which drill down into huge detail on, you know, Azure stuff and things like that. So this is a typical day one session. Let's show you the full breadth. Let's whiz through everything in a bunch of demos and then show you how to get the individual really, you know, level 3, level 400 sessions for the rest of the week. Okay? Fantastic. So, my name's Martin Woodward. That's how to get hold of me if you want to. I'll actually be down straight after this session after we get packed up. I also want to head down to get the free beer. So I'll head down towards the free beer. And then in the Visual Studio area, which is the purple area, have you seen it already? I'm going to be standing by a toolbox there with a little whiteboard and stuff talking about things. So feel free, if we've got a bunch of questions but you would like some free beer, head down, grab the beer and then come back and talk to me afterwards. Okay? But that's how to get hold of me if you miss me. And I do a podcast on TFS. Fascinating topic that is. And you can listen along to that if you want to. I work on the Visual Studio team. I actually work in the Team Foundation server area. My speciality is the Eclipse and cross-platform tooling, but I work across the whole of Team Foundation server as what's called a program manager, which is a bit of anachronism, really. I'm neither paid to program nor manage people, but there we go. It's just this. Mostly paid to delete email, it seems. But anyway. I do code to keep myself sane, so, and I come and chat to you guys. Now I wrote a couple of, co-authored a couple of books with a friend of mine, Brian, who's down there. Not that that makes me an expert, I just happen to know experts, so that's how you can get hold of them. I live in rural Northern Ireland. Explains the accent. If I do say a word which you don't understand, like bug, for example, then put your hand up and hit me or something like that, or throw something at me. That's berg. I'll actually, when I know there's a word I say wrong, I'll actually write it down and make it big just so we know exactly what I'm saying. But if you need subtitles, just let me know. That's the view from my desk. I do live in the middle of rural Northern Ireland. It does rain all the time in Ireland. Actually, not quite all the time. So that's the view out the front. That's my front door, looking down with a nice double rainbow there. Before I came away, just as I was getting ready to go to the airport, I had a look outside my office window as I was leaving yesterday morning, and this was the view that confronted me. So, yeah, exactly. The cows were actually a little bit angry because I just installed an electric fence around my garden because they were eating my hedgerow. So they came to come and eat, you know, come and complain at the chef because the hedge wasn't tasting quite as nice as it used to. But anyway, so I live literally in the middle of the field, in the middle of Northern Ireland. I work on my own. I communicate with the rest of my team, who mostly are in North Carolina. This is where we have a lot of the Team Foundation server development. Actually, the team split 50-50. 50% of the team are in North Carolina, and the other half of the team are in Redmond, where everybody else lives in Microsoft. That's actually been really good for the development of Team Foundation Server, because the server that we were originally using when we were building Team Foundation Server, it lives over here in Building 40 in Seattle, just behind the canteen, if you're ever around. I'll take you. We'll go for lunch and then I'll show you the server. As long as you buy lunch, that is. You know, I'll match eat you. So just over there. So that's where the server is that the main team uses and the main Visual Studio team use to build TFS. And so the guys based in North Carolina, like the version control team and the build team and some of those guys and the Eclipse team, their server is based across the whole country. And they're just in quite a small sort of regional office, has a really terrible network connection. And so when they were building Team Foundation server, they actually built it from the ground up to work really well over a wide area network because they use it like that. And so that's why features like the TFS proxy server came into existence, because a frustrated developer is trying to check in code late one night and is really annoyed at the performance and so builds the proxy server. So it works really well over a network where you've got 100 people trying to pull down a 1 megabyte link or something like that, you know, or probably even less. Now, I say my server used to be building 40. The whole of most of the division are still on this server, which actually has been upgraded to, Satya mentioned this morning, the server that we run, everybody runs on, is running a build of TFS 2012 release candidate. And that's supporting the entire division of, you know, 3,500 developers doing thousands of builds a day, you know, hundreds of thousands of check-ins and things. And it's, that's running TFS 2012 RC. Quite a interesting time to put a server live, just as you're also trying to get, you know, go from RC to RTM. So it's quite a brave decision to do that, but it all seems to be working so far, touch wood. My server, the server that my team uses, because we're very distributed, my team, I'm based in Northern Ireland, we've got a team in North Carolina, we've got a guy actually out in Illinois. Our server that we use is a server called tfspreview.com. Who uses tfspreview.com today? Okay. Who's got an account on tfspreview and doesn't really use it, but we saw an invite and so we thought we'd better sign up? Okay, that's good to know. Most of the talk today we're going to be playing in tfspreview.com. This is our cloud-hosted instance of TFS running on Azure, and that's where my source code is checked into. And that's the server I use every single day. I'm proud to say my team are one of the most demanding accounts on the server, and so we tend to be the canary in the coal mine, but luckily we know exactly the right people to call if something's not working quite right, and we do call them a lot when things aren't working precisely how we want them. So we use it ourselves. Eating your own dog food, it's a horrible Microsoft expression. But there we go, we do. This is, putting sites live is an interesting experience. This is a shaky picture I took, quite nervous one morning, September 2011. This is as we were putting the site live. And I don't know if you see the keynotes, like you saw the keynote this morning, and you know, you see like Jason or Satya up on stage doing the demos. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But this particular time, we're watching the demo live streaming. I told you I do cross-platform work. There's my MacBook there. I'm watching the live stream over on there. Well, on the other side, I've got a machine running and I've got a little checklist here of things. And this was us getting ready to put the site live because we were doing an update to switch on TFS Preview so all the people at the build conference could start using TFS Preview for the first time. But we did another one of those this morning at 6 o'clock this morning. My alarm clock went off and got on a conference call. And then at 7, we actually put a new thing live. So Satya mentioned it, and Brian referenced it as well in his session today. But we've actually removed the invite codes from tfspreview.com. You no longer need an invite to come join our cloud-hosted site. If you go to tfspreview.com now, you can create an account straight away, open to everybody. So that's exciting. Not only that, thank you, not only that, we also switched on a brand new welcome experience. Who remembers the little square box with a video inside and the play here? That was done very, very late one night. We need a homepage. Let's throw something up, you know. I, in fact, wrote that says find out more, that image. I did that myself in Paint or something, I think it was. So, we got some proper artists in and done a nice little welcome site, lots of tutorial content, that sort of thing. So anything I missed today, hopefully we've got it in this tutorial content here. It's shiny. We'll go play that in a sec. most important feature it does is it actually tells you what your account URL is. Previously, if you created an account, trying to remember what you created it as, because it never emailed you, was a bit confusing. So we actually, you can go look that up now if you've already got one and you haven't used it. So why on earth did we put Team Foundation Server in the cloud? Well, who's tried to install Team Foundation Server? Who enjoyed installing Team Foundation Server? There we go. That's why we put Team Foundation Server in the cloud, is one reason. It's just easier. Just let us look after installing it. We're quite good at installing TFS. We do it a lot. We install TFS. We upgrade TFS on TFS Preview once every 3 weeks. We run Scrum in our team. And at the end of every three-week iteration, it's potentially shippable, which they all are. Within the next following week, we deploy that build out onto TFS Preview. As with my team, having a server out on the internet is really useful when you have a cross-domain collaboration you're trying to do, maybe between you and a partner company. Maybe you've got lots of people spread across the whole world who often might not have good wide area network links, you know, good network links into your wide area network, and the routes might be quite routed around the globe. However, they generally have really good internet access, or as good as it gets, you know, in their particular geography. Their internet access tends to be really good. So by having the server out in the cloud, and by the cloud, I mean, you know, in a shipping container sort of outside Chicago or something like that. By having a TFS server out in the cloud, we can. It's just a lot easier for everybody to use the internet to get to it rather than having to go through into your firewall. There's obviously reduced ops costs because we maintain the server, we can do that at scale, and as I say, we ship every 3 weeks. So now we have some ideas about how we could use the public version of TFS in conjunction with private cloud, you know, private on-premises installations of TFS that we want to work on in the future. But we need this as an important stepping stone as well. But that's just, you know, TB confirmed what we'll do there. Important to mention as well, we aren't your only hosting provider. While we're running TFS, you know, 2012 ladies builds out in TFS Preview, you can get hosting today from a bunch of people commercially under a commercial offering, and there's a aka.ms/TFS hosting. If you just want a commercial product out in the cloud with all the SLAs, maybe you want them to customize it for you, maybe you want them to do something particularly, you know, maybe you want some consulting with that. A bunch of really good companies and really great partners we work with who can provide that for you. We're about providing the cloud service. For everyone, these guys will always be needed to, you know, be able to provide specialized services and be able to give you exactly what you want, tailor-made for you. Right, that's enough slides. Let's just play. Now, I have got some other slides as well, because we're going to go. The reason why I was a bit nervous early on was because my laptop wasn't projecting correctly. And my plan is to do all the demo and start from scratch all in while we're doing this session here and get us down for free beer in time. So let's start from the beginning. Luckily, I don't need much installed on my machine because I needed a web browser. It works, obviously, you know, i.e. Firefox, Chrome on Windows, Mac, Safari, Linux. It's a proper web application. So this is, we go to tfspreview.com. Here's where we hope the internet's working, and here's where we hope the site's not getting hammered by everyone who's just found out you don't need invite codes anymore. So we'll do get started for free, and then let's see how we're going. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is create an account. So let's see if we can get a good name while we're here. It was interesting watching the demo this morning. Oh, hello. What's going on now? All right, try again. Oh, that's exciting. Give me 2 seconds. My keyboard seems to be acting up, probably because of the projection issues we were having. Have you ever noticed a little trick? There we go. If your keyboard starts going funny, oh, what's going on? Okay, right, there we go. Let's try again. Okay. Wow. Sorry? Yeah, let's just close the browser down and start it back up again. It's not going to get very far if we can't even have a browser on. Is there? Cool. Thanks, Brian. TFSpreview.com. It's okay. I think it's. We'll find out. I got to type something then. We'll see how we get on. So let's see. Yep, we're working now. Don't know what happened there. There we go. Demo glitches, eh? Can't even type. How's the rest of the demo going to go? This is going to be exciting. So let's say, TechEd's probably gone. So we'll say, let's just do, I don't know, you know, Martin TechEd. That'll do. Yep, .tfspreview.com. Let's create an account. And what is that? It's actually the equivalent of doing, I'm going to sign in with my live ID. Martin at woodwardweb.com. I can't type and talk passwords at the same time. Well, there we go. Type and talk passwords, as I've just proven. And what this is actually going to go do is, behind the scenes, do all the stuff, you know, find some boxes in Azure, create, install TFS. Oh, it's already done. Install TFS, get it all set up, and boom, you're gone. That's a bit easier than finding even the media on MSDN, isn't it? So there we go. So we've created a new account. And you see, this is the magic URL you want to remember. Now, in our new Getting Started experience, I'm just going to copy this into my clipboard because I'll need this later. In our new Getting Started experience, if I went back to tfspreview.com, you know, the website, you can actually, now I'm signed in, you can actually go click on this account thing here and it will show you where your account is and all that sort of stuff. And you can go learn about, you know, pricing and, well, not that we have announced any pricing. It basically says, yeah, we haven't figured that out yet. So, there we go. Okay. So, back to my account. And then the first thing I'm going to do is create a team project quickly. And then we'll call this, let's pick a good old-fashioned Microsoft name, Contoso. There you go, that'll do. Create project. Now, I'm going to pick a process template here. These are the ones that ship out. These are the ones that ship on TFS Preview. You can't have custom process templates is the first limitation of being in the cloud. You have to pick one of ours. And I'm going to go with Scrum because that's the one I like. And we'll hit create project. And off it's going to do is go create that team project for you. And it goes through, gives you a little progress bar. Good thing to know is that you don't actually have to wait for it. You can hit close and go do some other stuff. You know, it's not actually doing everything from the browser. There's a big machine somewhere in the cloud that's doing all this magic stuff. So now what I've done deliberately is there's a couple of little things where it takes a little time. So I've got some extra slides that we can go to when we're doing things like creating this team project and creating builds, just so you don't have to stand there and watch it happen. So let's go to the PowerPoint machine. And then as soon as it's come back, we'll just jump back in. So, ba-boom, sorry. Okay, so this is a preview, tfspreview.com. This is a preview of our cloud-hosted ALM instance. We're not charging for it yet. We're going to charge somewhere. We're going to make money on it in the future. No, we haven't figured out how we're going to make money on it yet or exactly what business model we're going to use. We know we talked this morning, there'll be some elements of a paid and a free model in there. Exactly what model we're going to go with yet, we literally haven't decided. So I'm not going to promise you one thing and tell you it's something else. So we haven't decided what we'll do, but there will be a charge in there. You can go live with a TFS preview. You can use the TFS preview in your production accounts, and we would love it for you to do so. We use it ourselves. Please use it in production, because it's only once you use TFS preview, the TFS, in production, do you start being able to give us feedback? You know, just playing with it, it's one level of feedback. Actually, using it in production is fantastic feedback for us. And this has been just unbelievably useful to us as we build TFS 2012, the product that some of you want to install on-premise. As we're building that, having this cloud-hosted version that we can get everyone to use and give us feedback on as they go through has just been, it's been unbelievably valuable to us. So it more than paid its way. As we upgrade versions, I mentioned we upgrade at least every 3 weeks. We actually did a deployment on Friday, and we did another deployment today. So we deploy more often than that sometimes. But at least every 3 weeks, we do a new deployment. Obviously, all your data just doesn't go away after 3 weeks, you know. It gets upgraded automatically for you. The reason why we don't let you customize your work item templates yet is to enable us to upgrade your process template for you as you go along as well. So new features light up as we build them. They don't magically, you know, You don't have to do something clever to get them installed. They're just there. And also, support's with the forums, and there's email or addresses and things to come through. That's, the main thing. And Team Project Creation's taking an awfully long time. Looks like the site's very popular today. Okay. So, a lot of you already have experience with Team Foundation Server installed locally. What's the difference between the server and the service? Well, first of all, it's really, really easy to get set up. You just go to a website and create an account. And it's really easy to collaborate with anyone because there's no pesky firewalls getting in the way. Equally, there's no pesky firewalls getting in the way. So, if hosting code on the internet secured via live IDs isn't something that's going to be acceptable to your organizations, then fine. We have a fantastic on-premise product that's the same. It's literally the same code base that's running out in the cloud. So it's the same code. It's not, there's a couple of little if statements in there, which we can talk about in a bit, but it's the same code base. Now, if you want to do things like the virtual lab management, if you wanted to make use of the reporting features, those are only in the on-premise product. SQL Azure does not have a cloud-hosted reporting instance thing, SQL Server reporting services in the cloud yet that we can use. As soon as they do, we'll definitely be very interested in hooking into that. But up until that time, no reporting there. But what we have instead is we've built inside of TFS, and I'll show you in a second, a bunch of dynamic reports that we can use. And so you can use those, and it gives you some of the value, but not all of the value of reporting that you might have in TFS. But it does reduce a lot of the dependencies. We also aren't integrated with SharePoint in terms of, being able to have a SharePoint portal pointing to your TFS site that does all the upgrade, but gives you dashboards and things like that. That's not there in the cloud-hosted version. So let's go back to our thing here. And the great comment that everybody seems to like is, your project is great, your team is going to absolutely love this. There we go. So let's hope so. If we quickly browse to our project, let's see, there's that Contoso one we did. And I can navigate to it, and we'll go have a look. So who's seen TFS 12 already? A few of you? Look, shiny. It's a website that works now. It's fast and looks clean and is all metro-y. We have color. We also have the use of all caps. And then as I come through here, I can view my backlog, I can manage team members. So one of the first thing we do is maybe let's add some team members. So as Brian's in the audience, and I'll add Brian in, and he can help me. Just don't go do anything crazy behind the scenes, Brian. That would be great. So Brian, if anyone wants to send Brian any email to his home email account, make a note of this. Hotmail.com, helps if I spell com right. And then maybe, let's just check that, yeah. And then while we're here and having fun, let's use my boss's live ID as well, Jason Zander, hotmail.com. That'd be great. Fantastic. Now, obviously, you can have live IDs associated with domains as well. So while we're here, we'll go for the big boy. Let's do billg@microsoft.com as well, hey, while we're there. So he's busy giving away all his money. He doesn't need to. He's got some time to play with our stuff. So we'll save them, and that's how we add the team members to our project. Now, because Brian has used TFS Preview before on a different account, his name, and so is Jason, his name will show up there and have a little picture because he's already customized that. You do that just by coming up to here and saying Manage Profile, and you can go change your picture and give yourself a display name. So if you want to change, how your name is displayed in TFS, you can just edit that now. That's a simple change, and it wasn't previously. Bill, sadly, hasn't had a chance to check out the site yet, but I'll send him an email. Maybe he will. So the next thing we're going to do is let's create a project in Visual Studio, and we'll just check it in, TFS. So first of all, let's connect Visual Studio to TFS, to this account. So we're going to come here, connect. We're going to add the server. Now, you'll see my server list is fantastically big, but ignore a lot of those. Because I've been practicing this morning, as you can see, Tech Ed Prep, Temp 5, whatever. I should have deleted some of those. Let's just add in this one here. Okay, there we go. And we're just going to add this connection into Visual Studio, hit close. And then let's get connected up to the Contoso team project. So this connection experience is very similar to, you know, the connection experience you've had before with TFS. Just now we're talking to the cloud. There we go. So now I'm talking to TFS. This, if, in case you haven't seen it already, this is the shiny new Team Explorer experience inside of Visual Studio 2012. You can use Visual Studio 2010 with TFS in the cloud. You just have to install, there's a forward compatibility patch you need to install. We also shipped just last week, back end of last week, the Visual Studio 2008 one, and we're working on 2005. So you can still use older versions of Visual Studio against this TFS in the cloud. But yeah, let's create a quick project. So file. Wow, something's definitely up. File. There we go. New project. Should have had a reboot. I think when we've been playing to get the projections working, the machines, something's happened. Right, okay, let's create a quick MVC prompt. So we'll say, I don't know, I'm just going to be unoriginal. Hello, let's do hello tech at MVC. In the interest of time, we're not going to do too much clever, and we're just going to add it to source control as we're going to speed things up a bit. I want an internet application, create unit test projects, please. So we've got some unit tests to test. Let's go do its stuff. I noticed this worked incredibly fast on Scott Guthrie's machine this morning. He's obviously got a faster machine than I have. So I'm going to, while that's creating the MVC project, let's just jump back and do one more slide. It shouldn't take that long. Anyway, let's go jump back and do a slide. So, yeah, blah, 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 server versus service. Okay, we were talking about security, and we use Azure ACS. Have you heard about that? Access Control Services? It's a service in Azure to handle identities. We use that as part of TFS Preview. We make use of, you know, I think we actually now make use of all of the features in Azure. Maybe not the one where you're, you know, the network connection thing. Everything else, we pretty much use a lot of the Azure stack to build TFS Preview. We recently started using the CDN for something. So, yeah, you can use ACS IDs, and we have that hooked up to Live ID right now. Now, ACS is capable of supporting things like ADFS and Facebook and blah, blah, blah. We don't support those right now. Just Live ID at the minute are the only identities that we support in there, but it's something we're looking into. The network connection, you get enforced to go connect over HTTPS to encrypt the network traffic. So the data in transit is encrypted over HTTPS. The data at rest is not encrypted. SQL Azure doesn't support, you know, database encryption yet. We're kind of relying on the fact that nobody has access to that data. Well, I tell a lie. There are four people in the company that have access to that data, and they're highly security cleared. And when they do really, really need access, they need your permission, and it gets all audited and stuff. But mostly nobody has access to that data. Nobody has access, you know, physical access to the computers is quite tricky as well. And then performance-wise, currently the server is located in the central US data center, wherever that might happen to be. The idea is in the future we'll let you pick where you want your which Azure data center you want your TFS instance installed into, so that it's closer to the closest number of people. That said, I found the ping times to the US data center for me in Europe is fantastic. It's really, you know, the bandwidth into the Azure data center and the routing is amazingly good. So I wouldn't be too worried about it being in the US, even if you were based around the world. But some people have, like in Europe, you know, there's legal reasons why they need things in the European data center and things like that. So we'll give that as an option. And then finally, we do test a bunch of stuff. We obviously have this fantastic load testing product, which we use heavily to make sure TFS can scale. The first thing you learn when you're trying to run a service, there ain't nothing like production. Users do the darndest of things to your live sites that you're never going to predict. So, despite the fact we do a bunch of testing and we try really, really hard to test, things happen in production that we just sometimes surprise us. And my rule of thumb, actually, is that every time you scale by a factor of 10, then weird stuff happens that you weren't expecting and you haven't modeled for, even though you've scaled for a 10 times increase. So, hey-ho. Right, I'm going to, we're back to, I was actually sharing this, creating this MVP project, MVC project. I'm going to create a new folder over here. I personally, top tip, I like to create a main folder first with a new project and then check everything into there. That means if I'm doing any branching or any clever stuff like that that TFS can do, then I've got a branch structure already in place. But if I haven't, then it doesn't hurt me. So I'm going to create a main folder. I'm going to check in my Hello World MVC, and we'll do that. And so that's just going to now take this Hello World MVC app and check it in. Actually, no, it's not going to check it in. It's going to append all the ads. And then when it comes back to me, there we go. Got little ticks against them all. Wow. When it comes back to me, I'm doing the very demanding thing of right-clicking on the machine, on this solution. There we go. Okay. When it comes back to me, I can come here and just do check-in. That takes you to the new pending changes experience in Visual Studio 2012. So here's pending changes. And it'll go and show me what the included changes are. And inside here, I can just write a comment of initial version. And hit check-in. So that's going to go take these 218 changes that an MVC project creates and go check them into TFS, all those files, and upload them. Now, this is actually normally very, very, very fast, so I wanted to show you this bit just to show you that checking in 218 items, including PNGs, even over conference networks, is normally okay. But let's see what happens. Oh, no, that's progressing. Normally a bit faster than that. There we go. Zoom, yeah. Interesting. Okay, anyway, reasonably fast, considering it's 218 things. And it's this fast for me as well in Ireland. I actually have a really, probably a better network connection than we do in the conference centre right now, because I share my DSL line with a lot less people. More cows, but less people. Right, there we go, that checked in. So now I've got my project in TFS. It's shared in TFS. If I was actually to go into here, into the browser, I can go to source, and I can go view source control. We'll be able to see, hopefully, the main folder. There we go. There's main, and inside main, there's Hello World MVC. Here's a little feature for you. If I click on this little drop-down, or if I right-click, but I'm going to click on the little drop-down to show you. Oops, no. Click on the little drop-down. I can add things to favorites and to team favorites. So favorites we've always had in TFS, but they were always stored on one machine. Favorites are now stored in TFS, on-premise or a cloud TFS. And if I add that as a team favorite, that's now shared with my team. If I go back to my home page, you notice that we like tiles in Microsoft, and you notice that the first thing that it does is it actually adds a tile and it shows you the recent changes to main, for example, and it puts all your team favorites into the home page as a tile. And there's some cool ones. We'll have a play of them in a second. So there we go. That's that checked in. Fantastic. So what should we do next? Let's. One thing I quickly wanted to show you, I've got a session tomorrow afternoon on TFS, all aboard the TFS Express, which is going to go into more detail into, you know, TFS features. But one of the things I was going to show you was just some of the version control stuff. One of the things is that the read-only bit has gone on files now, so you can just like edit a file outside in version. You know, let's just do it quickly. I can go. Edit a file, Visual Studio, Visual Studio, chop chop, 2012, where did I create that file? Hang on a second, sorry, give me 2 seconds, right here, open folder in Windows Explorer, there's a nice new feature, there we go, and then I can come into here, go down, and then like web configs, I don't know about you, I quite often edit web configs in, say, Notepad. So let's double-click on the web config. Remember, who's used TFS before again? Yeah, a few of you? Right, okay. Look at this. This is magic. I'm going to start typing in Notepad, not Visual Studio. Hello. I'm going to save it in Notepad. It didn't prompt me that the file was read-only. That's because it's not. It's using a feature called Local Workspaces, which is a new feature in TFS 2012, which sets the files to read-write locally. And on this, Visual Studio automatically knows that I edited that file locally, even though I didn't check it out. It just knows. Isn't that cool? So there's a nice little feature. So we'll hit check in, and there we go. So I was just going to show you that. There's a session tomorrow all about that, which I'm going to go through a bit more detail into source control and stuff. But what we're going to do is we're going to do a bit of quick bit of agile planning. So we come into here, and we're going to, let's plan out our sprints. So we'll configure our schedule, because currently we're in sprint one, and we've got no hours planned. So let's plan some work. So here's our sprints. You know, we've just defined, as we created the project, it created some sprints for us. Now, we're going to be particularly agile today, and we're going to like have 1 week iterations or something. So I'll set that to the 11th of June, and then I'll set a sprint end date. Actually, I'll set a sprint end date on the 19th, because I want to show you a cool feature, and it'll show up better. So there's the 19th of June. Oh, one feature. I'm from the UK, as we've already established by my crazy accent. That's why it's going day-day, month-month, year-year, because I'm crazy and I like it that way, like the rest of the world. So you can it picks up your locale from your browser and automatically displays dates and things in your client locale, even though the server's in the US and you might have people in different language locales and stuff. That all kind of just works. So we'll hit save and close. But that wasn't the feature I was going to show you. Notice 19th of the 6th, 2012. This was a feature that's new in the recent deployment. So some of you who are already using TFS preview might not have seen this before. When I click on the date, it automatically picked the next day. Look at that. Isn't that clever? Woo! Let's have a clap. There we go. Yeah, there we are. And it automatically kind of figured out what sort of sprint iterations I'm running. And it tries to use some heuristics to try and guess when you want your sprint start ends to be. So there we go. That's actually done a pretty good guess. Brilliant. So we go. We've created some sprints. Let's do that, and we'll hit close. So now when we go in, we'll actually have a start end date for our sprint, which is good. The next thing we want to do is plan out some work. So I'm going to go to the backlog. And this is my product backlog. This is our like our agile, you know, where you can plan out your work. So let's create some tasks. So, you know, we'll do things like create MVC site. This is actually creating product backlog items. These are stories or whatever, but we'll just stick some stuff in here. Automated build. We might not have time for this one, but we'll see. We'll be agile. Create Java build. Create Azure site. Deploy to Azure. Now, as we've already established, my computer and my network connection are being particularly slow right now. I was still able to do all that while it was being particularly slow. And notice here, it's actually saving them in the background asynchronously. So even though I have an incredibly slow link right now, being on a slow computer, it's actually done all that, handled it, and it hasn't interrupted my working at all. It just did it all in the background, which is pretty clever. So, and then I might come in and I could edit a particular work item. And I can come in here, and I can go set some story points on this particular work item. For example, so a story point is normally like a Fibonacci sequence. Have you seen our planning poker games and things like that? So I'm just going to give it a rough estimate of effort. So that didn't take me very long, so we'll say we'll give that 2 story points. But another particular work item, wow, like creating the build. Wow, creating a build sounds hard. Let's give that 8 story points. Here's another feature you might not expect. I'm going to hit Control S, because sometimes your muscle memory takes over, you know? You hit Control S in a browser and then it pops up the browser file save dialog. It's annoying. Hit Control S in web access, it saves the work item. How cool is that? So I quite like that feature. Just one of those things. That's what you get when you get developers up here demoing stuff to show you all the small features. Another feature I quite like, look, you can use your cursor keys to move up and down and press enter. It's just small stuff like that. It makes it really a lot more usable. It's a proper web application. So let's give that 12. Okay. And then if I wanted to, I might switch on like forecasting lines so I know that my team can run at a sprint of, say, 10 story points a sprint. So therefore, looking at my backlog, we're only going to get down to creating an automated build in this first thing. But, you know, I quite want to show you how to create an Azure site. So let's drag and we'll drop that above creating a Java build. And now it fits in the sprint. Oh, brilliant. I also would quite like to deploy to Azure, so let's create that, and we'll drag that up in priority. And that's actually how you adjust the priorities of your... Well, that wasn't working. Let's drag that down. There you go. Okay. Anyway, that's how you adjust the priorities of things in your backlog, and what it's doing behind the scenes is it's actually editing the, you know, the backlog priority order. Great. So we've done our sprint planning. Let's take these, and we'll actually let's chuck some of these in our sprint. And what my team do every single iteration, you know, every single sprint, we come in, we do some sprint planning, we decide what we're going to do in this sprint, we'll stick it in our sprint backlog, and then during our stand-up meeting, well, during the initial sprint planning meeting, we go in and we actually break that work down into tasks. So we've got some stories there, and then I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to just create a task. Notice a little plus button. That should pop up. Oh, a nice little task here. And let's just do something quick. I've already done that one, so I'll not spend a lot of time on that one. Create site. Oh, I wanted to add remaining work in. Wow. Normally, it is a lot faster than this on a proper network, I assure you. I wonder if I'm using Wi-Fi or something crazy. Okay, create automated build. Well, that sounds hard, so figure it out. Remaining work like 16 hours, so that's going to be tricky, isn't it? And then do it, you know. Let's add another one of do it. Remaining work 4 hours, great. Right, lovely. And this is all, you know, rich. This is control B, rich, control B, text, etc. Oh, well, that didn't work. There you go. Well, my keyboard's acting up again, but yeah, as you can see, this is text in bold. So it's rich text and all that sort of stuff. You can embed pictures in there and all that sort of thing. There we go. So we've got some tasks, and then we can actually go into our board, our task planning board, and we can actually go and, during our daily stand-ups, what my team do is they go to the task planning board, and this is where we drag stuff around. So creating the MVC site, well, that sounds like something a PM can do. So I might come down in here and... actually, why don't I click in here, and I'm going to assign that to type. Damn you. Wow. Okay, I'm going to drag that into here. And there we go. I'm going to move that into in progress. I maybe want to give it a different, maybe say, actually, I've got 5 hours remaining on that. And then I might want to come down here and turn it to 3 hours. And that's behind the scenes. That's actually updating the work item behind all this. So if you go into Visual Studio, you see that work item change. And actually, you know, we've already created that site, haven't we? So that's now done. Notice there's a rule in this Scrum process template that when you set things to done, it automatically clears the hours out for you because you don't have any hours left anymore. So that's the hour gone. Figure it out. Let's see if my keyboard's decided to start working. Oh, it's okay. It just seems to be inside the IE that it stopped working. That's exciting. Okay, so yeah, figure it out. That's what we're actually going to go figure out how to do next. Figure it out. Wow. Okay. Let's move on to the demo, and then we'll come back. Now, while we're covering slides, I'll just shut down IE and open it back up again. Let's see what's happening. Right. So that's how we do the sprint capacity. We can move tasks around. Oh, and we could also add work item queries of favorites if we wanted to as well. And those favorites are stored on the server and shared between the web, Visual Studio, and Eclipse. We have an Eclipse client. That's what my team work on. Yes, sir? How do you create a bug and associate the work item? Yeah, okay. So you would do that from the home page. Is the quickest way, or from the work item tab. But I can just say add a bug. That's going to open up the bug here, and we'll say this site is, it seems to be working fast now, and the keyboard's working again now. Slow, and then we'll assign that to, say, Martin, and we maybe link that with a test case. If we've got it, we can actually add a test case that we link to, or we can link it to another work item. We might say, that link that to chain set, whatever, we'll actually say that's associated with the parent site of, that's not work. There should be a way of hitting find on it, but there we go. I'm going to associate with that one for now. And you can create the link work item there. You can also do it inside of Visual Studio and things like that. Yes, bugs. The question was, does the bug show up on your backlog? That's controlled by your process template. The default Scrum process template does show bugs as a backlog item. So if I can now go back to the backlog, if you're using an on-premise TFS instance, then you can actually, you know, you can customize how your uh, how that happens, but we have. And so there you go. This site is slow is a bug associated with that story, which is on the backlog now. And we can come in here, and this will be, because it was associated with a parent that was already in sprint one, it automatically came into sprint one. And so now if I go to my planning board, the bugs are there, and there should be a, this site is slow, is now the bug, and I can come in and add a task of make it fast. This is my fix to that bug, and then I can mark, I'm fixing that bug right now. Okay, great, great question. Right, so the next thing we're going to do is create a build. So I can go back into Visual Studio to do this. I'm going to do an ASP.NET build. And I can come in here, I go to builds, and the build system works just like it does with on-premise, how you go to new build definition, but there's a bit of magic involved here. So I come down, create new Hello World MVC. There's got to be something looping on the UI thread. Okay, so Hello World MVC, hit trigger. I'm going to keep it as a manual build for now. What would I like to build? Hello World MVC, sounds good. Look at this, build controller, hosted build controller. So not only do we host TFS in the cloud for you with work items, source control, and build management, we also host a build controller in the cloud for you. Thank you. Should we see if it works? So, and notice this here. It's going to drop the build results because having them dropped onto Windows File Share, which is what it does on, in your network, is really handy on the neural network. Accessing Windows File Shares over the internet ain't so useful. So we actually can put the results into the version control now as well. So we'll drop them into drops, and that'll do. Okay. And then process, it's automatically picked up which solution to use and the retention policy. It's sensible defaults is what it goes with. So we'll hit Control S, we'll save that. That'll pop up over here, and then we queue a build, and then while we're queuing a build, we'll go do some other magic. Yes, sir. So the question was, can you drop build results in an on-premise build controller in an on-premise TFS server to version control? The answer is no. That's one of the differences. The reason is that when we're not overly happy with using version control for storing binary files, as people with test stuff might notice it. So we're actually going to do some work to make that a better experience, but source control was a good place that we could get something in for hosted, so as we wanted to ship every 3 weeks, we stuck it in there for now. But great question, George. So let's queue new build, and I'm just going to queue this up manually and make sure everything works, but yeah, that should hopefully be building. While that is building, and in the interest of time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead. Now, everyone at the keynote this morning saw the Scott Guthrie announced it last week, didn't he? The new Windows Azure portal with manage.windows.com, windowsazure.com, that's in preview, and also the websites feature that was enabled. So you can have up to 10 websites. I've actually got three here already, a couple I've been playing with, and Radio TFS, which is, again, a blatant plug for my podcast. There we go. So that's the website. That took me like 5 minutes to move over. It was unbelievably easy to deploy to Azure now with this new websites feature. So let's create a new website. So we'll say quick create, and we'll say tech ed, what's my session? 340, isn't it? So dev, yeah, definitely swings. Dev 340. There we go. Create website. So that's going to create a new website for me. And off it goes creating. This doesn't take too long, typically. There you go. It's created. And I'm going to go look at that website. I'm going to go change some settings. And this was a feature which Scott talked to this morning but didn't show. And there's a session all about this, which I'll give you the links to in a second. Well, let's set up TFS publishing. So here we go. I'm in the cloud, building a website in the cloud, and I'm going to try and connect it to my TFS server in the cloud. So did I keep that thing in my clipboard? I did. That's great, because I keep forgetting that. Martin, okay, authorize now. This uses OAuth to actually handle the link between the TFS, the Azure portal and TFS preview. So we'll say yes, I want to establish that link. That means you can break that link later. It means you don't need to give Azure portals or other third parties your TFS credentials. You can set up an OAuth trust between them. I want to publish to Contoso. And then what it does, it actually sets up, again, sensible defaults. It actually looks for website solution files inside the Contoso team project. And if it can find one, it'll use that. And I'll show you in a second once this is finished doing its thing. Linking the project with your website project. Here we go. Let's go over to here and we'll see if we can beat it telling us. Let's hit refresh. Let's hit refresh again. I'm trying to beat Windows Azure and bring something up. Okay. There we go, look at that. Magically, a build definition appears. So what happens over here in Windows Azure, it still says, oops, it still says linking. This page will refresh momentarily. And it polls to figure out when it's done. So we'll come back to that in a sec. But what it's actually done behind the scenes is it's set up all the trust relationship between your new Azure website and your TFS server. It's also created a build definition for us. And if we go look at that build definition, it's found that we already have a website project there. And it's gone and it's set up the source control folders. It's set up to use a hosted build controller. It's told it to go use... it'll tell it to go use that solution file. Bring up. And it's actually found that. And look, there we go. Hello World MVC. So basically, though I always come in and check it, it's gone and done the right stuff for me here for a demo. However, on site, you probably want to go and check as well, am I building and deploying the right website that I have checked into source control, especially if you have more than one per team project. So, yeah, that's all good. So, great. Well, that looks good. So, tell you what, let's change something. In the home controller, let's say, hello, TechEd. And being a good boy, oh, well, I used the, and I wasn't particularly that good. Being a consultant, I'm going to do Control-C and go to Source Control Explorer, and I'm going to go paste that in the unit test. Because, you know, by default, the Azure the AMVC template creates unit tests for the home controller as well as the home controller itself. Okay, there we go. Modify, there we are. Okay, chop chop. Wow. I'm doing the demanding thing, Control V. There we go. Hello, TechEd. Hello, TechEd. Right, fantastic. Let's, I could right click and do pending changes, but I'll show you another way. It's home, pending changes. Sorry, clicked on the wrong window. Go to pending changes, please. There we go, pending changes. And I'm just going to check those files in, make changes, hit check in. So when that is set up a continuous integration build for me, if I now go back to my build page, I can see already there's a build in the queue because it's continuous integration, build on every single check-in. And not only that, I can go use the web client to go look at these things. So I can go here to build, and I can see if I go to that one, I'll be able to see that there's a build in the queue. There we go. Look at this. We've got an extra tab of deployed. Isn't that exciting? So we'll see queued there. Let's double-click on it. We've done a bunch of work to make the build report a lot nicer in TFS 2012. So if I... oh, no, it's actually not quite running yet. Hang on a second. Refresh. There we go. So the build's actually running now. So this is the build that we're building here on a little box. Will be in a few seconds. Running in a hosted build controller in the cloud. Building our project for the cloud. Deploying it to the cloud. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. That's quite exciting. So this is the entire stack of application lifecycle management all in the cloud, which is pretty cool. So the build's running here, and it's going to run, and we'll come back to it in a sec, and then we'll see if it's actually worked, shall we? Now, there is a link as well between, once you are linked, as I say, there's a link between TFS, it knows about Azure, and the Azure site knows about TFS as well. And if we go to the Azure portal, it's already detected that we've already built the site, actually, and TFS is already deploying the site out to Azure. So that's pretty cool. Yes, sir? So So the question was the deployment logic, how different is that to the logic that ships in Visual Studio? It's actually basically the same logic, and packages it up and deploys it with the publishing settings. The only tricky bit was with the OAuth authentication setting up. There's a session I've got a link to, 317, I think I've got a link to it in a second, that deals into doing it on-premise if you wanted to do this, but it's basically the same logic. You can look at the activity. It's very, very, very similar. There's no magic or smoke and mirrors here or anything. You can get access and you can see all what's running and what activities are running here. But that's deploying that site out. And if I go back to here, let's see what we're doing. We're doing it in here. We can actually see it's still running. H4 seconds is quite a long time. But it's publishing the output, deploying it using MS deploy. So it's the same thing. And then it's actually doing the associate change sets and work items now as well. So TFS, when you do a build, it looks to see which files changed as part of that build, and therefore it associates those changes with the build, and it also associates the work items that were associated with that change with the build. And so you can see end to end your requirements traceability all the way from check-ins to work items to builds to what's actually deployed. Yes, sir, question. So the question was, can you use your own build process template with custom activities on hosted? The answer is yes. That's all fully supported. What we do with the build controllers, they're a VM image, a blank build controller. And when you request a build, the reason why it's queued for a little bit longer than you typically see on-premise is because it creates a new VM from this VM image and assigns it to your account, runs the build, and then behind the scenes, it tears down that VM and re-images it with our blank VM image again. So you actually, if you want to do any clever logic, you actually have to use a custom build process and custom build process templates, because that's the only way of getting code in to the build. You know, you have to bring all your dependencies with you to do your builds, because you only have installed on that VM image what we install for you, which is, you know, Visual Studio 2010, Visual Studio 2012, the Azure Toolkit, the build extension, so you can build Java projects in the cloud as well, and those sorts of things. Follow-up question? Yeah. Yes. Correct, yeah, so the question was, do we configure it the same as on-premise? Yes, when you're configuring a custom build process, custom controller, you just point it at a path in version control to download the files, and it'll download them for you and just do that all exactly as you do today with on-premise stuff. And there is a, Mickey Gousset has a session on managing, demystifying Team Foundation build, which you can go look at, which would delve into exactly that logic and how to do that. And it's the same for on-premise or in the cloud. And look, it's worked. We have green. We passed unit tests. So let's go to our site here. It's deployed. Ooh, this is exciting. Let's go to our dashboard, because I can't remember Tech Ed Dev, and I'll actually click on the link down here. Will it work? This is the demo Scott Geoffrey didn't dare do. Let's see if it worked. Dun, 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 dun. Woohoo! Hello, Tech Ed. Look at that. Thank you. So that's reasonably presentable. While we're going to wrap up and do some cover off some stuff now, but while we're doing that, let's actually quickly change it again, and you can actually see it doing, you know, that was one deployment. Hello. Oh, say goodbye, Tech Ed. There you go. That can be the way we finish. Wow. Maybe we won't, if it's going to take this long to select a text box. Goodbye. That's the unit test, because I'm a good boy. I always do my unit tests. Oh, no, I didn't, actually. I'm a bad boy. I'm a naughty boy. I did my code first. Sing about saying the word naughty in an English accent that always gets a laugh. There we go. Did I say goodbye or bye, Tech Ed? Oh, thank you. I have typed goodbye, I promise. There we go. It'd be interesting, actually, to show you what happened if I did get that wrong, because notice one of the things it does is it your unit tests have to pass before the build gets deployed. So if your unit test had failed for some reason, then that build doesn't get deployed, obviously. That would be crazy. So change message, there we go. And I could associate with a work item and do all the stuff you do with TFS. But yeah, so there we go. While we're here, I was hopefully going to show Java stuff, but we had a few technical glitches there, so I'm just going to show, this is from Eclipse. I could actually go see, there's my Hello World build. I'm connected to a different server here. But you can see I've got Team Explorer here in Eclipse as well. So your Java guys and your cross-platform guys, so this runs on the Mac and on Linux and all that sort of stuff, they have access to all those same features that you have access to inside of Visual Studio. Fantastic. So while that's deploying, let's bring this up here. Which one should we watch? This one. And we'll bring that one. Okay, queued. And we can see where, you know, the deployed build. There you go, look at that. And we can assign it a quality of like deployed and things and lock it. And isn't that shiny? Okay, there we go, queued. Right, so I'm just going to jump back a bit, show you quickly. We'll come back to here. Three sessions of particular note I wanted to highlight of stuff we've touched on. Dev 3.10 is Paul's session on the continuous delivery of Windows Azure Cloud apps. That talks mainly about the on-premise case of you want a TFS server automatically deploying out into the cloud. He shows you how to do that in that session, Dev 3.10. Dev 3.62 is a fantastic session, a new session from Jamie Cool and Chris Patterson on optimizing for continuous delivery. That goes all the way through, does unit testing, ex-unit testing, and just best practices in terms of doing a continuous delivery method. And then Dev 217 is a deep dive. This agile planning tooling I showed you, I only showed you less than 1/8 of the functionality in there. And Greg's going to go into more detail, not just on how to use that functionality, but also how to customize it. So if you have your own custom process template in your on-premises TFS that isn't Scrum, or is like kind of like Scrum, but a bit different, you can customize the tooling so it all works for you in your custom process template. Okay, so there was a couple of things I wanted to mention. The collocation, yeah. Currently, our SLA on the service is we're going to aim for a 99.9% SLA. We're not going to aim for that. Sorry, our SLA is 99.9% is what we're going to go for when we're a commercial service. Our goal, that a man's goal should be extend his reach or what's a heaven for or something like that. Our goal is 100%. We have my boss is particularly adamant, a guy called Brian Harry, is particularly adamant that SLAs are not goals. Goals is it should always be up. A SLA is just how you cover your butt for legal reasons, you know, so you can't sue us. But yeah, our goal is 100%. We're not there yet. We're learning. It says best effort averaging 99.93. Actually, averaging over the past 30 days was 99.83. So we're still learning, but we're trying to get as good as we can. Redundancy, yeah, we use all the SQL stuff, blah, 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 for redundancy. And we have a bunch of monitoring logic behind the scenes as well. That not just internally, we monitor inside the data center to see if the server's up, which is great because we can tell you when your server's up. But what we can't tell you is, can you access it? And a lot of that's not our fault, but it's good to know if people in Italy or where happened somewhere last week, a whole country got cut off the internet because their fiber cable got dredged by a trawler. So it's good to know those sorts of things. So we try and have distributed outside the firewall coming in as well. Is it up? How fast is it? Those sorts of things. So we can tell if we've got a problem with the internet connection. And our SLA is measured. It's a synthetic measure. It's not a. We're not looking at. It's what we think it's up. It's not what you're actually seeing, which is an important thing. But we're trying to get better in terms of how we measure SLAs and how we protect SLAs because they're important. And then currently, the only way to get started in TFS is to just start afresh. You know, drag, drop some code in and check it in. You can't currently import history. I say that, you actually can. There's a thing called the TFS integration platform, which actually works against this. So you could import with history from another TFS server. We just don't quite support it yet because we know there'll be dragons. And we're working on it to get rid of those dragons. So once we do, before we support it, you can get history in. We also want to obviously have a nice shiny page you can go to that says, hey, import my you know, we want actual proper tooling and a GUI and stuff like that, rather than having to make you compile things. And then we also want to be able to get your project collection from the cloud to on-premise. That's a very important checkbox we've got for ourselves before we switch on billing and actually start charging you to use TFS in the cloud. It's no good us doing that if you've been using TFS in the cloud and your data's stuck there. You're just going to all be very angry if you don't want to buy the service. So an important checkbox for us is being able to make sure you can get your data out of TFS in the cloud as well as into TFS in the cloud. And then we've got some hybrid models. One thing as I wanted to mention, actually, a slight if statement we mentioned earlier, is it the same code base? There is one if statement in there. Well, there's a few, but one of them is around identity, live ID versus Active Directory on-premise. That's an interesting problem when it comes to pulling the data out of TFS, because we need to provide you a way of converting your your live IDs into your on-premise Active Directory IDs and things. But another interesting thing as you're getting data in and out, I've completely forgotten. So that's exciting. All right, okay. Moving on. I'll come back to that. Upgrade. We currently upgrade them so you can't do stuff. When we go into RTM, we'll obviously have some sort of grace period where we're not going to cut off your data one day without telling you. You'll be well telegraphed that we're going to start charging and things when we do have a charging model. And then the final thing I wanted to mention, this is often misunderstood. With TFS 2012, you can upgrade your TFS server and keep all your clients as they were. You don't have to upgrade all your clients to Visual Studio. You know, you can still be running VB6 if you want to and talk to TFS 2012 server. That's all fully supported. You can run Delphi, I think, and all sorts of stuff again using the MISCI provider against TFS 2012. So any client that can talk to TFS 2012, that's Eclipse, IBM Rational Application Developer, Visual Studio 2010, 2008, and older versions, then that just works. Excel, Project, Test Manager, they all work against the cloud. Okay. Well, look at that, just exactly 8 minutes early, ready for some questions and for some trek down to get some beers. So any additional questions that have come in while they're up, I'm going to put my contact details. Yes, sir. The question is, as you're hosting similar to TFS proxy setup? No. A TFS proxy is is a thing you install in a remote geographical office to actually to be able to cache in version control the files locally to those people, so that when you do a get latest, you only have to get them locally on your network. You can point a TFS proxy server at TFS preview to cache your files in that local office, so they're not having to go out to the internet to do a get latest of files. So they're complementary. It's not a replacement of. To answer your question, sir. Yes. No, rather. It happens in the build process, and it's just the same MS deploy stuff that happens normally. But Chris in Dev 206 will be dealing more into that, or I can explain it to you when we get down to the Visual Studio area. And then any more questions over here? Yeah, yes, sir. No, so the TFS includes the ability to be able to, in the website, let me just show you, DevTrack resources. Make sure everybody fills in the eval. I know it's late, but please give me a really good eval, even though we have technical problems. Or just fill one out, regardless of the score. And then I'm just showing you a question. I just want to make sure I showed you all these slides, because you can win a prize, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then scan that to evaluate now. Okay, right, I've got to the end. Right, let's answer your question, sir. So it was, can you browse source control? Yeah, you can. It's built into TFS. It's just a nice, shiny viewer of source control. But it's actually better because it's actually got a really good diff and merge and things. So if I go into, this is actually a thing that's improved quite a lot. Oh, no, I didn't want to go there. Sorry. It was my controller, wasn't it, I was playing with? Home controller. If I click on, say, the history of home controller, I can compare with, well, let me see there, compare change set 11. I can compare two versions, so there we go. Hello TechEd versus hello goodbye and things. So, yep, the source control experience is actually pretty decent. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much for your time. I'll be downstairs. Thank you.